You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. From the AfterBuzz compound in Los Angeles, California, this is AfterBuzz TV for the final episode of Big Love. Tonight's host is the true prophet, Kevin Undergaro. Joining Kevin will be AfterBuzz co-host, Brother Stuart Lil. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest Big Love news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off, and the buzz continues, Kevin Undergaro!
Thank you very much, Sir Richard Wentworth. And great, great improv work, Sir Richard. All of that is his copy that he writes and surprises us with every week. We really appreciate that. A bittersweet podcast for us, Big Love, Season 5. Episode 10, Where Men and Mountains Meet. Bittersweet in the not in the respect that it was a bad episode. I thought it was beautiful. Bittersweet in the respect that this is the end of the series. And once again, if you're just tuning in, we apologize. We will not be covering episode 9. We did miss episode 9. Just busy. Buzzing along, right, Stu?
Yes, sir.
Well, just unfortunately. And I almost felt, in a way, I'm glad that we didn't do 9.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you why. In filmmaking, and I know I've said this on other podcasts, the second to last big scene of any movie will generally indicate to you whether you're going to have a happy ending or a sad ending. So if the second to last scene, your protagonist is winning, well, chances are he's going to lose in the end. In this regard, Albie, of course, is defeated at the end of episode 9. He's shot, and you know he's guilty, and he's apprehended.
Right.
So when I saw that, I said, it's curtains for Bill. Because the antagonist has been thwarted. Now, yes, there's a greater antagonist out there, which is, in a sense, mankind. That's who in organized religion, which is so intolerant. But I see as the human antagonist, I saw as Albie, and I knew Bill was doomed. Now, did I know he was going to die? No, I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew it was not going to end well for him, personally. So I'm grateful, in a sense, that we didn't do 9. I apologize to our fans for not doing that. I know a lot of you wrote in to the website, and we do appreciate your comments. And here we are for the finale. I thought it was beautiful, a beautiful, well-written piece that said so much and was so rich. Stu, what were your thoughts?
I definitely thought it was the strongest episode, definitely of the season. I thought maybe even the series, because everything just finally culminated. Like, everything they wrapped it up so well. I thought it deserved 2 hours for a finale, myself. But they did it. I think they did it spot on for an hour. I mean, I just know HBO is kind of, like, whenever I used to watch The Wire, I know they'd always do, like, a two-hour finale, and they'd just give it to the fans. They're like, you know, you've been waiting for this one, we'll give it to you. And they did it. And then, but Big Love, the creators, Mark and, I'll get back to you on that one. But
okay.
Anyway, but yeah, no, they wrote this episode, obviously, and they started this series, and they very well knew how to end it. And it just... I mean, there were so many powerful scenes, like the cars, the driving.
Well, we'll
scene.
Go. We'll keep, know, you know, I we just, can t- we can take it beat for yeah. beat for beat, and generally on this podcast, we're always looking at the symbolism and the imagery because it's so strong,
yeah,
and so well done. both in dialogue and cinematography and production design, and I know we talk about it every week.
And what put me off immediately after watching the episode, I went to forums, and they were all saying, worst finale ever.
Oh, you know, yeah, like, yeah. Tell me about that. You know, I briefly looked at the news and the blogs.
Yeah.
But was so consumed with the episode, I just really wanted to concentrate on breaking it down.
Yeah.
But tell me, what were some of the fans saying?
The main comment, which kind of pissed me off, was that they said Bill dying was a cop-out. Or killing Bill in, like, the last 5 minutes was a cop-out. They should have killed him the previous episode. They were going to kill him, or, and all this stuff. And I was like...
Why? You would have had a completely boring and anticlimactic finale if you killed him in the...
Like, we wanted to see how the wives handle it. I mean, that's... No, and I was like, that's...
You saw...
I mean, it was all about the wives in the end, but at the same time, it's like... But what pissed me off was that they didn't... It's like they just completely disregarded the entire episode and were only worried about what was going to happen at the last minute. Like, I mean...
Okay, and, you know, now... I'll be the villain here.
Yeah.
To talk about what a great film I thought The Passion of the Christ was.
Mm-hmm.
Now, divorce yourself from the political ramifications of it. Divorce yourself from the way Mel Gibson has behaved in the last few years, and even what his personal feelings are.
Mm-hmm.
A very compelling film.
Yeah.
And Jesus is crucified, and, you know, moments after, that movie's over.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing here. You wouldn't go on. It just would not be good storytelling to do an entire episode without Bill.
Right.
Because Bill was, at the end, he was crucified.
Right.
Now we know why all those purples.
Mm-hmm.
Remember I was saying we were seeing more and more of these colors against the starkness in some other areas. But these Easter colors.
Yeah.
And as soon as they opened up talking about Easter, I said, oh my goodness, this is going to be a crucifixion.
Right.
I did not know he would be mortally wounded. Yeah. I didn't know if it was going to be a symbolic crucifixion, meaning he would be thrown in jail and the Book of Job losing everything, which in fact he does. He loses Home Plus and everything else. I didn't guess that it would go there, but it was wonderful that it did, I believe.
Yeah.
But just opening up, as soon as they talk about Easter, did you know, Stu, now that we've been working together, did you know where it was going?
Oh, I mean, they hammered it home every scene. Like, so, Easter, baptism, Easter here. Are you coming over for Easter this week? You know, it's like, oh boy.
Yeah, you knew, right?
Yeah.
It's interesting. You know, even talking about lamb.
Mm-hmm.
And God, we know how symbolic lamb is. If you think of the Bible and of course the sacrificial lamb, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's funny, Lois, early on when he's talking to her, she said, Easter and those hats, and they made us feel so full of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bill was really feeling full of himself from kind of the start of this episode, like... I don't know.
In some ways, the whole series he has.
Yeah.
But she was also saying, all of you, you know, made us all feel so full of ourselves, basically so full of crap.
Yeah.
And that's why she said, no. You know, she wouldn't put the hat on.
Mm-hmm.
And then she kind of did. You know, she went along with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think was fantasizing that she was a young woman again. And when she looks in the mirror, she sees this old... woman who, you know, basically the life didn't turn out for her
right
as she had hoped early on,
mm-hmm.
and that's when she starts freaking out. And Bill says, she says, I don't remember anything, and he said, all you have to remember is me. And if that isn't more prophet-like or Christ-like, I don't know what is. And it's funny with Lois later on when she's in bed with her husband who's, you know, tended to her mercy killing.
Right.
And he's telling her a story. And did you hear him talking about colors? We both wanted houses.
Yeah, I remember.
You wanted a yellow house.
Oh, no, I missed that one.
I wanted a brown one.
Mm-hmm.
To me, brown is what? Dirt.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yellow, of course, is sunshine. It's brightness. It's hope. And this is what Lois wanted. But if you see throughout the episode, and if you ever, if you see the episode again, now notice all of the uses of yellows and grays and browns, but especially the yellows and the oranges. You know, there's that scene with the oranges. All we have is oranges. You know, where's the pie? Where's
right.
the blah, blah, blah? He's playing around. But this is what they had hoped for. And, of course, orange is sun, and the sun is setting on them. And you notice all the skylines throughout all the exterior shots of them driving.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The sun was setting on them. The sun was the sun was going down. Jesus, right?
Mm.
It's going down. The sun was going down to die. I mean, I can't imagine. I'd love to know if, and I apologize for not bringing in the showrunners or writers. We're AfterBuzz is very early in its early stages, and it's sad that we won't have a season or two more to talk to these guys, because I would love to know how many brains, go into this.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we've all had the English teacher or the film professor that overanalyzes things and creates all this this imagery and symbolism that they're creating that the writer really never intended.
Yeah.
I fully don't believe that to be the case with what I'm espousing and what these people have created.
Yeah,
this isn't about me saying, consistent. Oh, why aren't I smart to pick this up? No, that's not the point. These people are really smart and inventive and so detail-oriented to have all of this in there. And I'm fascinated by the fact, I'd love to know how many minds went into this, and if it is the showrunner and he's managing all these people, or he's bringing out the best in all these people, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But the layers are all there. What did you think of, the only thing I thought was a little comedic was when Ben, you're laughing already, when Ben bought her a star.
Yeah. One in a trillion.
What was that about?
I guess they wanted to definitely show that, because they only showed him in one other scene later, so I guess they wanted to show that Ben was going to try. And
but she said that's lame.
That's lame.
Which I love about her.
Yeah.
So she calls him on it. I think so. Maybe because he's just so old-fashioned and doesn't know.
And it was a really weird green in that scene. I mean, like, it was a really a weird setting.
And remember, why did Bill get killed?
You resodded
the
lawn, yeah.
It's green, right?
Right.
It's greener pastures. It's the
okay,
it's
yeah.
Seven. But there's a shot where early on where Barb and Nikki are battling, and they kind of rack focus, and they go from Barb, who's in her yellow house, and then to Nikki, who's in her gray interior. And if you could see this episode again, one of the things I noticed was that Nikki was very pale and almost overlit, whereas Barb had really nice color in her face.
Mm-hmm.
And the time that the color came to Nikki's face was when her and Barb had their moment. And the moment I'm referring to is when she says, I'm a terrible person. I'm not kind. I don't care about people.
Mm-hmm.
And Barb says, I know. And she says, no, seriously. Yada, yada, yada. I don't care. I'm unkind. And Barb says what?
I know.
To me, that's the moment between Priest and parishioner.
Mm.
This is Barb is coming closer to that ascension of a calling.
Yeah.
You know, what would your priest say to you in confession if you're a Catholic? That's exactly what he'd say. A good priest wouldn't say, oh, no, you're not those things. Now, Barb 4 seasons ago would have said that.
Mm.
Nikki, you're amazing. We love you. No, she said, I know.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And basically, let's hug it out.
Yeah. That was, I can't recall another time when they hugged it and there wasn't like...
It was genuine.
It was
Barb is the...
And there wasn't someone trying to pull a knife out and stick it in the back or something.
And it's Barb replacing Bill as the one.
Yeah.
Saying, I know. Okay, I know. So where do we go from here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know? So where do we go from here? We can begin to grow from here.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes and she tells the daughter, I said all those things because I was that scared for you.
Right.
And then she says to her, you know, later, I understand what you felt like. And she finally is a mom.
Right.
To say, I understand what it's like to be in love. But basically, in other words, someday you'll thank me.
Mm-hmm.
It's in a healthier relationship. You know, you see that between a mom and a daughter, or a father and daughter, or father and son, where you say, they'll say to the child, you can't appreciate, I'm keeping you away from this predator now, and I'm just the villain, and you just think I ruined your love.
Mm-hmm.
But someday, as a parent, you'll thank me, and you'll do the same for your child.
Yeah, you...
And she can't... Nikki's not healthy enough to say that,
mm-hmm.
but basically that's what she was saying. And you see the actress, Carolyn, you see her face softens.
Yeah. I mean, it was just the first time you ever see Nikki sympathize, like literally bring out her own experience.
She's developing.
Yeah.
She's growing.
Yeah.
She's developing feelings. And I hope, I'm sorry to jump around, but to me, it completely comes out in the Senate, the floor of the Senate, where she shows up to support Bill and she speaks out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, remember, this is the one who couldn't even speak to the school principal.
And hardly to the press just earlier.
To the press, can't talk to the neighbors, nothing. Only comfortable with her sister, her real sisters up at Juniper Creek,
mm-hmm.
and semi-comfortable with her sister wives. And yet she's arced to the point where she stands up not only to an authority figure, but a senator no less.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great moment.
Yeah.
Great moment brought out by Barb. And from that moment, from her hug with Barb, now we see the color back on her face.
Hmm.
Really wonderful. Margene wants to go to Central America.
Yes.
And to me, symbolically, that's she wants to go to her center. Hmm. She wants to kind of start over.
Right.
Start from the center, work her way out. And we know by the end of it, her hair is cut short. And the person I was watching it with, my girlfriend, didn't appreciate that.
Mm.
She thought she was being cynical. She thought she cut it for another role. I completely disagree. I believe she's now a child and she's going to now grow in the correct way. She was never able to grow before, right? She was at 16, went from her trailer to Bill, just thrust into this world, searching, searching, searching. Now she's going to start fresh.
Well, a note about the hair, that you said that she thought she cut it for another role. That actress actually has a short haircut, and she's always worn wigs.
So we, you know, we saw her, and I know her personally,
We
saw her. I mean, I've met her, but Maria Menounos is close friends with her.
Wow.
I've met her a few times, and we saw her at a Starbucks a few months ago, and the hair was very short.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not that short.
Oh, okay.
But it was short.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen her longer. Now, so was all season long she wearing wigs?
There was an article about it. It talked about she always... first to have her own hairstyle, and the show was really accepting with just putting a wig on her. And
well, it's a great moment that they took it off.
But yeah.
And if you notice, her colors of her outfit were neutral.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's starting fresh.
Yeah.
She's starting fresh. But you know, all through the show, my goodness, and as I said, I have two pages of notes here for all the symbolism I saw. Mm-hmm. The, you know, Barb, that old car. She finally got rid of it. And wasn't it interesting that her mom said 7 episodes ago, and this car, when are you going to get rid of it? And I always wondered, you know, here's Bill with these 3 beautiful houses, a huge corporation. He's well off financially. I mean, enough to the point, not comfortable because he's got to work hard, but enough to the point that she could be in something other than that old station wagon.
Mm-hmm.
But it really was her holding on.
Well,
to the past ways and the past lives.
I mean, it seemed more like Bill was holding on than she was.
But she was going along with it. Yeah. She was drinking the Kool-Aid.
Okay.
Still until this season.
Yeah.
Because even the mother criticized about the car, and she said the car is fine.
Yeah.
Until this episode, she went in, she got a Mini.
Yeah.
Because why? She's Mini Bill.
Oh, yeah.
And she named it what? Honeybee.
Honeybee.
And, which, of course, right? That's our son. That's our honey. Which is the, you know, that golden honey, that's the yellow, right?
And Nick said it should be called In Your Face. That's what it should be named, Barb.
Yeah, right, of course, because, you know, she's not, and it was interesting, it's too cramped.
Yeah.
Because she's not ready for that kind of growth.
Yeah.
And Margene just wants to escape.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just keep driving, let's keep driving, let's keep driving. But Barb is the more centered one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just remember, a beacon sting.
Yeah.
You know, so she's capable of filling Bill's shoes. Mm-hmm. And these were the steps to prove it. And, of course, it wigs Bill out. You know, Bill says, you know, you've thrown away our life. She had said, we've run that car into the ground. You know, we've run our relationship into the ground. And not their love, but the relationship as it was. Mm-hmm. Me as this white stay-at-home wife who kept her mouth shut and let you be the leader. And kind of I have not had rights in the way I should. That has been run into the ground. It's very interesting. And it's also was interesting, you know Barb's ready too when she's when Nikki says Margene says, I'd like to go to the baptism with you, which I thought was nice because we've always talked about them having some kind of mentor relationship.
Yeah.
And Barb says no.
Yeah. I'm going alone.
I'm going to, you know, I'll be fine on my own.
Yeah.
And that's what she's saying. So we know whether it's helping Bill's church, helping all the kids, helping Nikki and Margene, or if she were completely cast out, she'd be okay on her own.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, if you go back to the Bible stories, like the book of Job and all these things, it's all about that. It's all about if everything's stripped away from you, you're still going to have faith. Mm-hmm. In yourself and faith in you know the higher power, so to speak. And this is her saying, I'll be fine on my own.
And what we finally really learn or over this episode is the wives wouldn't be fine without Barb. And
right.
And that came out with different ways, such as when Nikki tries to first take over Barb's job of writing down things they need to do, and Nikki just completely fails. And
yeah, and she's and you know what, and we're out of paper towels and toilet paper.
Yeah.
And Barb says, I have plenty in my basement.
Right.
Plenty of toilet paper.
Yeah.
In my basement. Like, I've got enough shit in my basement. Which is just amazing. Hmm.
But think about that car scene. It was just, like, there were so many emotions going across everyone's face. Like, you know, just from happy to, really excited and looking forward to the future. And then to really just kind of like, you know, what is in the future? And they get sad. And then... And Nikki was like, you know, jealous and/or just kind of like pissed at Barb that, you know, she went and did this on her own, something else on her own again. And then, but she still managed to smile. And I don't know. And that music that was going with it, which was, I actually have the name of it. It was by Vitamin String Quartet, God Moving Over the Face of the Waters, if anyone wants
to. Wow, that's great.
And yeah, it was just a really great composed scene over like with the music and the shots, and I don't know, just all the range of emotions that were going
and,
into that
and
thing.
Right. And so as a writer or a filmmaker, just know that what you can get without 20 pages of dialogue.
Yeah. And this also remind me of 6 Feet Under's finale when Claire drove off and then yeah, it was just a ton of emotions going through, but they didn't do this as the ending.
Well, you know, it's funny, my girlfriend, when we saw that, she was like, oh. She said, oh, that's the ending. I said, oh, my goodness, I hope not. And we went in, of course, we go into the Easter scene and the big colorful table of all the yellows and purples and pinks and great jib shot that takes us, you know, from the table into the scene. You know, Bill said, you know, he's lost home plus.
Mm-hmm.
He's lost home. He's Job. He's lost everything.
Yeah.
Barb's still going to go forward with her baptism while they go to the Senate. And again, how amazing was the production design on the baptism?
Wait.
Barb's
very
baptism.
Good. Very good. By the way, I had no idea that the Mormon community invested that much money into a baptism pool.
Do they?
I feel like
let's be fair. Yeah. This is a
Reformed church.
Yeah. So they kind of like it for the writers, or at least the gloves are off. They can do what they want.
I know, but at the same time, it's kind of been consistent over the seasons with especially LDS places. Like they seem to have a lot of. I mean, you're supposed to tithe a lot in that sect, I believe. I mean, just look at their main church in Salt Lake City, Utah. That thing is a amazing architecture, but that baptism pool just really brought me back to when Nikki was like, you're always worried about your appearance, And like this was like the shiniest, like
right
brass bowl metallic.
White and layered and wide, steps. Layer,
yeah,
and
everything's just perfect.
I mean, it looked like heaven.
Yeah.
It looked like heaven. And that's just interesting. And you know, Phil, Stu, it's great that you brought that up about being perfect for appearances mm-hmm. because it did appear like heaven.
Yeah.
But guess what? It's not real, is it?
No.
It's not real because this is Earth.
Yeah.
And in Earth, someone wants a brown house, someone wants a yellow house. But it's not yellow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not all brown, and it's not all gray. It's a mix of everything, but it's certainly not that pure white and purple and beautiful. That's not life.
Yeah, not yet anyway.
No, not yet.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's several moments. You know, Bill says, till a true prophet leads us, we'll do the best we can. But for now, this is our home. Which yeah. is just great, you
yeah.
know, at his service.
I think I was watching that service, and I was like, you know, I might become a Mormon. This is so inspiring.
This is the first time I got choked up.
Yeah,
is a guy that has been beat up all season,
mm.
and I know we've argued about this, and I know you saw more of Don's perspective,
mm-hmm.
and how much Don had given. But at the end of the day, Don has his life.
Yeah.
And Don has his children. And Don is here still on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Bill gave his life for all of it.
Yeah.
And that's why I always felt like, yes, I understood why Don was fed up. But I felt like Bill was ultimately giving more mm-hmm. to the cause. And in the end, he did.
And Don recognized that. I mean,
he did. And you know, Don said, "I can't even believe it. It's basically it's a miracle." He was the Peter,
yeah.
in a sense, to Jesus, where he denied him, and then you know, at the end, is like, "Oh my God!" And you know, and you see him up there in that chair. So he'll be, you know, probably what him and Barb will be running that church. But he was like Bill, and they keep coming, and even when Bill was in the backyard writing. That long, he was just writing on a legal pad.
Yeah.
What did you take of Don's reactions there? Was he just kind of in awe and listening, or was he still like a little unsure, meaning he has some ways to go with his faith?
I mean, personally, as you were saying, like I'm always siding with or kind of see where Don's perspective. But I mean, in that moment, I was in awe of myself, of Bill
That's
myself.
Right.
So I was like,
bow
so
down,
I,
just like
yeah,
me.
Yeah. So see? I definitely felt like Don was in awe as well.
Right. he was.
I mean, like as soon as he entered, he's like, oh, because he was talking to Bill was talking to his son, and he was like, oh, you guys need a moment, you know, like just being kind of cautious about his territory, and you know, it was like he felt like he was entering a
right.
I don't know. Yeah, he was not.
And we.
Because he's barged in kind of before, and, you know, like, you know, Bill, everything's gone and all this stuff. But
right.
Yeah, but this, no, not this time.
And Ben, you know, has arced in the sense that he's going to take the good things from his dad,
mm-hmm.
but he's going to be reformed in a sense where I don't see him. I see him taking care of someone like, who's the little.
Heather?
Heather will be his partner.
Oh, Rhonda.
But he'll be kind to the Rhondas and charitable, mm-hmm. but he won't marry them.
Right.
I feel like we see that with his arc at the end where he's going to be he's going to, again, take the good from the dad. And if we want to, it's not, I think this whole show is about tolerance. So I don't want to even judge now the whole aspect of having multiple wives because who's to say?
Mm-hmm.
Who's to say multiple husbands? Who's to say? You know, I think that's what that show was really all about was about tolerance. And, yeah. you know, I've said that in the last three or four episodes, it became really clear to me. But I thought the Senate scene was great too, where they really stood their ground and he made his statement and all the press was there to see it. And, you know, if there's ever a way to, elevate, solidify a cause
mm-hmm.
to get martyred.
Yeah.
So Bill, you know, being killed or whatever, you know, at the very least, that 480 people now is going to be very strong,
mm-hmm.
more than ever,
mm-hmm.
because their leader and prophet, you know, gave his life for the cause
yeah.
and built this way of life for all of them.
That scene, I mean, of course we talked about Barb and Nikki speaking out, and I don't know, they did this really cool shot where Bill was just in the middle and he was walking and, you know, he was just doing that typical political, like throwing the thumb and the fist. I don't know, but
right.
But anyway, no, but that scene where, you know, he's finally standing up after 120 years of not discussing polygamy. Like, it was just one of those, it's bound to be that painting on the wall that you see in the Senate when you're taking the tours, and like, and this is where Bill Hendrickson was standing up for polygamy in,
right.
in 2011. And I don't know, that was a great shot.
It really
and
was.
It lasted like a second.
Just
but,
a second.
Yeah.
And, but that's all you need. And yeah. you remembered it.
Yeah.
And this is the intricacies that go into just filmmaking in general, which is why you really would have to be insane, especially to be an indie filmmaker,
mm-hmm.
because if you're a good one and you're detail-oriented and you care, because this is how much work, how painstaking it is. Like you said, for 1 second.
Yeah.
But, man.
Because, yeah, like typically.
But look at how it impacted you.
I know, yeah. Because, like, typically I feel like in these, in TV, I should clarify, is. I mean, it's usually just a bunch of close-ups, and you don't ever really... I don't feel like you ever get the full...
Well, again, let's take a step back.
Yeah.
Not so much today's TV. It's growing more, Stu.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, particularly HBO Showtime, mm-hmm. but now has branched out to AMC. Wonderful cinematography on Walking Dead, Breaking Bad. It's growing. Mm-hmm. We're getting there.
Yeah.
We're getting there, and with you guys, you young guys coming up the ladder, this is all you're seeing. So your barometer is going to be high.
Mm-hmm.
So it's scary. Old guys, I don't know. You better either start working harder or head for the hills, because the quality of programming that's coming out, it's just set the bar so high,
mm-hmm.
and it's wonderful. I love it. It's really wonderful. It's funny when this guy comes up and says at the end, Carl
mm-hmm.
comes up to Bill and says, you restarted my lawn. And as soon as they cut away from them, I said to my girlfriend, he's going to kill him.
Yeah.
Did you know?
Oh, yeah. As soon as Carl walked up, I was like, of course, because his wife, Pam, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, like, we didn't know what that scene was for when she went over to Marge or came over to Margie's house and was like, I've lost everything. Carl's crashed two cars and he's flown off the wall, you know. He's become right. crazy, and like, as soon as I saw him walk up, I knew. Was it. Yeah, and I was like, this is. I mean, like, I felt like there's no other way but Albie to do it. I mean, clearly, there's no other way. And then Carl
Albie was defeated.
Albie was defeated.
Frank is give Lois, as we would say, safe passage.
Yeah,
he's, you know, let Mom go,
mm-hmm.
and Bill's on the way to see his mother. Right.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, not symbolic?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, and let's cut back one thing. Here's where I wasn't sure. When he was looking at his new church, the woman...
Oh, that was...
Was that his mother, or was that the wife of Joseph Smith?
That was the Joseph Smith wife. I thought, yeah, at first it's like, oh, that's his mom, younger. But no, right. Yeah, no, it's that woman he came across, that dinner party function, whatever it was.
I thought that was amazing, too, that, like, flashback to, you know, the original church and mm-hmm. maybe what they stood for.
Yeah.
And the fact that he brought it back. It was beautiful. It was nice to see that the kind of misfits had a home.
Yeah.
That he created a home for them.
Yeah.
And after he had just lost everything. And again, great storytelling, classic storytelling. It was when you bring your protagonist to his knees
mm-hmm.
and strip him of everything. And just when you think, he gets his reward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really great. And of course, for Bill, his reward was to build this church, to give these people a home, and to have them be tolerated, and to give his three wives, to bring them together.
And I guess most, I mean, I don't want to, because none of the wives are more important than one another. But I mean, he built it for Barb because she was excommunicated from...
Yeah, originally, yes.
And she, and yeah,
but it was, but right down the line, all three of them. But yes, Barb in particular,
because he told her that in that great tennis match of a back and forth, like, you know, but you did this, but you did that, and I did this for you because of this, and like, I don't know, it went on for like a solid 3 or 4 minutes, and it was the start of the show, and I was like, wow, this is already an amazing series finale, like they're. This is a really solid scene, and and yeah, then it just it paid off. I mean, obviously, it was Barbara walking back into the church and finally giving Bill what he ultimately wanted.
And so we hear those three gunshots,
yeah,
taking us toward the end,
mm-hmm.
and we know,
yeah,
and it was three of them. Of course, you know, that's the symbolism: mm-hmm. three wives, the Holy Trinity, and out they run. And of course, there's a purple cloth behind his neck, which is, you know, very symbolic of, mm-hmm. you know, so many things, royalty. The red would be the martyrdom,
mm-hmm.
Easter, so many things. And I thought it was great, once again, in cinema, filmmaking, just the fact, even the sound design.
Mm-hmm.
Do you notice how dim their voices became?
Yeah, yeah.
Great sound design.
Mm-hmm.
Not completely out, but very dim. And it made me feel like, oh my goodness, this is probably what it's like when you're dying.
Yeah.
And he's starting to not see them. They're turning to light. So he's moving forward. But how amazing that he says, Barb, I need your blessing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this...
And tell me all the entendres involved with that.
Well, just the fact that he's handing off the church to her.
Yes. But also, I need your blessing. Yeah. I need you to say to me, it's okay.
Yeah.
Everything I've done, mm-hmm. all the guilt I have for your life, everything I've done all these years, you know, tell me I have your blessing.
And that was really like the true, because they'd been fighting the whole episode. And like, you know, Marge was like, I need to know right now if you're leaving or like if you guys are splitting up. And in that moment, they made up and. And she told him life was okay, and all three wives are there, and he handed off the church to her, and it just everything became complete in that moment.
In that moment.
Yeah.
And he moves on, of course, and we cut to 11 months later,
mm-hmm.
probably some kind of service.
And it turned into Breaking Bad with Sarah's husband. Jesse entered the picture all of a sudden.
Yeah, was he the husband before?
Yeah, he's always been the
husband. Yeah, but it made me think of, oh my goodness, I never put it together.
Yeah.
Great young actor, and boy, are we excited for July for that show. But, of course, Sarah comes back,
mm-hmm.
and the only thing that's the only slight criticism, but I don't see any other way around it, was just the continual hiding of Teenie.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They even made fun of it earlier. Like,
just so dismissed. Just, but it's fine. But Sarah, what to me was, you know, she said thank you to the mom.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for the dad, like, because the whole time she was always questioning, who are these parents? Why did they? I love them, but yet why did they thrust me into this? And she's saying, you know what? Thank you. Thank you for all of it because it enriched me so much. And did you notice her with the baby?
Yeah.
She said to the husband, change her, please. And he, of course, dutifully does so. She says, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And change her, meaning the women need in that culture need to be changed. And by him being the one to change the diapers, well, things have changed for her, and she's arced as well.
Mm-hmm.
But she's saying thank you to Bill and to the mom for getting her there.
Yeah,
which is fantastic. What, you know, their outfits. I touched upon it earlier. Margene's in a very neutral color. She's with her short hair. To me, she's a kid.
Mm-hmm. But in that moment.
Well, in that scene,
I mean, I just felt like
she's a kid starting over. Is she starting over fresh in the world? That's what the short hair is about.
Okay.
The neutral colors. She's ready to grow and to blossom and to become the woman she's supposed to be. Whereas her childhood was plucked away. We've seen early episodes of her looking at her yearbook, remember, and being like, and thinking her kids her age would still be going to nightclubs and dating and going to bars. But no, just all this world was like, you know, she jumped from the trailer park into this family,
mm-hmm.
For better or for worse. And now she gets to start, because of the whole experience, the journey, she's starting fresh,
mm-hmm.
and going out into the world. And it's well, we'll talk about their interrelationships, but then you move on to Barb, who's in the bright red. And to me, red is martyrdom. You know, Bill martyred himself for the cause. It's blood.
Mm-hmm.
course. It could be the blood of Christ. And also, to me, it's striking. It stands out. Like, she's ready. Mm-hmm. She's ready to make a statement. Because even in the Senate, Nikki made her statement and was bold and brave. But then it was like she opened the door for Barb to say all the smart and intelligent things, yeah, which indicated, okay, Barb's ready.
Yeah.
She's ready. Now, here's the thing that, and of course, Nikki's in black. Like, Nikki's in black.
Mm-hmm.
Black, yes, is death. But the reason priests wear black is not for death. It's actually more spiritual. So the irony is, you know, you always think of like white, you know, when you think of and you think of black as evil. It's actually not. I mean, and then why would the priest be wearing black?
Right.
So I see Nikki's black as she's still very conservative. She's the conservative. I know, like, and my girlfriend's from a pretty old-fashioned European culture, and when the husband dies, you wear black for a year. All That's right. just how it is. Mm-hmm. So Nikki, to me, is still very traditional in that respect. She's wearing her black, but also I think there's a pious aspect to her that will come out mm-hmm. over time. And I feel just by her reaching out to Margene saying, "You don't call us enough. We're worried about you." She's grown feelings, hasn't she, in 11 months?
Yeah. But that, I guess that's when I was confused when you said, like, Marge is a little kid again, because Marge was just, but it makes total sense to me now.
I mean, not a little kid, like, she's, like, immature. I mean, she's not childish. She's childlike in symbolically speaking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's starting out in the world.
No, yeah, but
and even for Nikki to say that to her as the mom is further evidence.
Yeah, exactly.
You need to call. You know, it would be what a mom would say to a college age daughter, and this is a college age girl.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, she was 16 when they married, which brings her up to what, 19, maybe 20.
Yeah, right.
If you do the math, I mean, you know, she's a young
girl. I don't remember how old her oldest kid is, but.
And this is how, so you see the arc with the three of them in that moment and the hug. Mm-hmm. And of course, you see Bill, you know, symbolically, or, you know, they have the image of him sitting at the table looking at them. He's pleased. You know, they say, of course, they say they wish he could be there. But, you know, we see that in a way he is. His presence is felt. It's felt, we see through the daughter and through, you know, the way he's touched all their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go out with a female singing the Beach Boys song. It sounded like Alanis. Who was it, Stu? Did you know?
The artist?
Who sang the I may not always love you.
Yeah, I got Alanis.
It was Natalie Maines from the Dixie Chicks.
Ah, great call. Really, and again, someone who's very much into tolerance.
Really appropriate. I mean, that used to be the theme of the show. The theme song.
Jess, was that always Natalie's song, or did she just do it for this?
It was originally the Beach Boys.
Yeah.
No, I know that, but did she record it on an album in the last few years?
No, she recorded it special. She hasn't done anything for the past 3 to 5 years, and now
it's amazing. Oh, wow. Really amazing. Mm-hmm. I thought so, Stu.
Yeah. When I heard that, when that queued up, I was... there was no better way to end it right there. That song really played it out perfectly.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Stu, I'm going to ask that we... because, you know, it's our finale as well. So this is all very emotional for me. Let's go to a commercial, and then we'll go straight to the news.
Want to find out what the AfterBuzz is about?
Janice is a drama queen.
This is the divide that is going to carry the series.
Give us a call at 347-855-8269.
This television, and they want it to be as dramatic as possible.
I mean, it's Shakespearean.
You never know what goes on behind closed doors.
Get in on the AfterBuzz.
347-855-8269. Now, in the eyes of Jimmy, Nucky is a villain.
Listen on iTunes.
I mean, who would you guys rather hear that from?
Find us on Facebook.
Your husband or your best friend?
Follow us on Twitter.
And then she's trying to kill him, so it justifies it. I'm like, oh, now it makes sense.
And visit us at AfterBuzzTV.com.
The wig. Oh, come
let
off.
That wig come off, baby.
No, what?
Boardwalk Empire.
Desperate Housewives.
Glee.
Gossip Girl.
Breaking Bad.
Mad Men.
True Blood.
The Walking Dead.
Big Love.
Jersey Shore.
The Oscars.
Celebrity Rehab.
The Emmys.
If it's hot, you can bet we'll be buzzing about it. AfterBuzz TV News.
Bill Paxton has revealed that he would like to return to movies now that his show has ended, saying he is, quote, ready to do something else. I got a good taste of TV. I feel like it's a Herculean responsibility to be the lead in a television series, and for right now, I'm being offered a lot of stuff, but I'm taking a back seat for a while.
Yeah, I can see where he's getting. He's going to get a lot of these actors because you're so respected. It's like the Deadwood actors too. You're going to get a lot of stuff offered to you. Bill was already a star beforehand.
Yeah.
It's not wise to jump in business wise to jump into another series. Whether you're Ray Romano, Kelsey Grammer. I mean, I can think of a long list of people. You know, it's good to. You need downtime before you even if you weren't tired. You need that downtime. Need audiences to kind of forget you in that role. Usually it's a period of about 3 to 5 years.
Yeah.
That will take you into your next, if it's going to be a lead role.
I'm surprised. I mean, like, I'm just looking at his IMDb, and he really hasn't been. He's only been in, like, two other things since starting Big Love.
Right. Right. He didn't. It's interesting. He might have children. He might be deeply involved in the producing and the writing of the show. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, at least with these HBO shows, you have such downtime. Those are the times you want to be out making your movies.
Yeah.
But, as I said, he may have, who knows, he might have other things, or he may have been so focused on the character that he didn't want to do that. Either way, he's going to be fine.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, Chloe Sevigny will be kept busy following the rap of Big Love. The actress is developing the miniseries Lizzie Borden about the infamous 19th century slayings. The project is being set up as a two-part, four-hour miniseries delving into the gruesome 1892 double murder of Borden's father and stepmother and the subsequent trial. Borden, at 32 at the time, was accused of killing both of them with a hatchet.
My goodness, amazing casting by HBO, and an amazing opportunity for Chloe Sevigny. Do you know about Lizzie Borden?
No.
Lizzie Borden took an axe, gave her mother 40 whacks. It's an old, like, rhyme based on the fact that, you know, she axed.
And yeah. It's very close to Cape Cod, where I'm from. And the actual house, they've turned it into a bed and breakfast. And me and my friends went there because we really were like, we were into this whole freakish, like, let's sleep there. And yeah. So
I'm like stunned. It's a bed and breakfast and not a museum.
It is.
Like, same house though, not a knockdown. No.
The exact same house. Oh, furniture. My. Like, it is just disgusting.
Blood stains.
Wait. So what is disgusting about it though?
It's really, I'm the type of person who I believe in spirits and all that, and I can sense things.
You sense it.
I went
Well, you know what
it is?
You're a very sensitive person.
Yes.
So you're going to pick up. When I went to the Battle of Little Bighorn, Custer's Last Stand, where like 200 soldiers were just slaughtered by like 2,000 Indians coming over hills out of nowhere. Just, you know, imagine, you know, if you were a pale face.
Yeah.
If you were, and you just saw these. A different looking group of men in feathers and face paint going screaming with, you know, wielding hatchets and guns, and seeing thousands of them pour down from hills that surround you, and think of, you'd be like, oh my effing God. Anyway, when I went to the site, I'm with you, I felt the death. And I'm with you on that.
I mean, you can during the day go in there and they'll take you on a tour and show you everything.
Mm.
And then at night, I mean, it costs like $400 to sleep there. I'm like, who is paying for it?
But a lot of people very popular, right?
Absolutely.
And is it just popular for people who want to enjoy bed and breakfast, or are they actual fans of Lizzie?
This is like I'm saying, if you aren't sensitive to it, like, I went in there, and before the woman even took us on a tour and was describing, like, the couch where the father, stepfather, like, all that stuff, I was like, I can't, I was getting nauseous.
But are there clientele?
No, their clientele,
generally,
it's
people
like
who
ghost hunters and
gotcha.
People who
okay.
like that stuff.
Wow, well, anyway, I think it's going to be great for her. You know, I wish it was a full series just for her sake, but this is great. This is a nice... This would be a nice transition for her into something else. She's a very artsy person, from what I'm told from people who know her, and we know is a great actress. So good, well wishes to her.
Well, in a recent interview, creator Mark Olson explains how gay Mormons have taken to the series, saying, quote, "I think they are hugely positive about the show. They say, oh my God, you've captured our world. You've captured the struggle. You really have done it for us. The deeper and more refined the show becomes, the more they loved us."
Again, I can see that because I believe the show is about tolerance. And so a gay Mormon, and I have a couple of Mormon friends who are gay, and they feel very outcasted, very outcasted. So to see something like this where, again, the running theme is tolerance.
And, yeah.
I can see where it would be embraced. So
I wonder how happy they are that, I mean, the position, I'm glad it's Albie, considering, like, of all people, it's like, of course, like, Albie's a closet gay guy who's hiding it. But just how evil he is, like, like you had to make
I think he was evil either, anyway.
No, I know.
You know, it didn't matter. He gay, straight, or otherwise. I think, he was a very...
As far as gay viewers saying, all right, which character would I want to represent me out of this series?
Oh, I don't think they looked at it that way. I think it was just more looking at the sake of just being tolerated, because they probably have not been tolerated by, you know, many in their own faith, let alone in society.
And it's kind of interesting, too, as well. I mean, it's a recurring theme right now with this show, Sister Wives, which is about a polygamous family. They recently just came out talking about that they also are accepting of and they understand.
On Sister Wives.
Gay culture, yes.
That's really good, you know. And let's let's bring that up in our like kind of final thoughts. Last night... we're talking about if this show made us more tolerant, is Sister Wives poisoning that or enhancing that? But we'll get into that afterwards.
Mm-hmm. All right, and that's your AfterBuzz TV Big Love News and Gossip.
Forever. Anyway, good stuff, Jess. Thank you.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV prediction.
Gosh, what's going to happen next season?
Well, I think... Well, here's what kind of fits into predictions. What is Sister Wives doing to this? Now, I don't think you'd have a Sister Wives perhaps without a Big Love. I think that facilitated that. What is Sister Wives doing for it? Is it making them seem more like wackos, or is it going to... convey more tolerance? What do you guys think?
Well, I watch Sister Wives.
Okay.
And it's kind of interesting because our topic always is, every time we talk about is accepting polygamy and what it is. And I've seen a couple episodes of Big Love, but with Sister Wives, the one thing we've all agreed on is that it makes us understand them much better because the way it's filmed is you can relate to them as human beings. And you can relate to them on the family sense of it. And they allow you in their homes. And the things that we normally would look at them and say, oh, that's weird, that's awkward, is outbalanced by the normal, everyday tasks that they, you know, go
through. Gotcha.
So I think it brings it to a higher level.
Good, all right.
To a higher level with America.
Stu, what do you think?
Yeah, I watched season one, and I was really impressed how they didn't just always put it on Cody Brown, the lead guy, and his wives. They were really into putting it on the children and, like, really hammering home, like, you know, it's... I mean, they're not all being brainwashed because, you know, they're interviewing them, too, and, like you know, I know a lot of them are like, no, I don't want to be a polygamist, you know, and, you know, our dad is enforcing that on us, and Cody is a really fun guy. He's really great to his wives. I mean, at least on camera, you know, but I fully believe that's how he is. I don't believe that all this is just an act, but it's just like, they're just like normal. You just feel like they're normal everyday people. I mean, they have their friends over who aren't polygamists, and they just, you know, there's never any tension there. And I think they do more to enhance it than,
and detract from it.
Yeah, detract
from it. All right, good. Well, that's good. I think from hearing from you, Jesse, that makes me feel a lot better. I mean, I know it's helped me. Mm-hmm. It has. It's helped me tremendously to be like, God, you know, how are we judging, you know, these people?
Mm-hmm.
For me, what helped me just not judge anybody was 9/11.
Yeah.
Because I look at, for me, 9/11 wasn't the Muslims. To me, 9/11 was religion.
Mm-hmm.
It was religion. Dave Letterman, you know, he said it the night after it happened, I can't believe that all this happened because of religion.
Mm.
And it didn't really hit me back then. I was too young. But I realized as years have passed, it's just it. And just organized religion, just ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, for all the good things it can do, all of it is, you know, like what we, as of me as a Catholic, what I was raised to believe could easily be looked upon as fairy tale.
Yeah.
The way we look at Scientology and laugh at them as fairy tale, the way the Mormons and, you know, the way Joseph Smith came upon everything seems like a fairy tale. You know, it's like, so why not tolerate each other's fairy tales? But you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was watching Bill Maher, Real Time with Bill Maher, and he was getting into how when he was making his movie Religious, which I would encourage anyone to watch, just, I mean, even if you really have strong faith, I would, you know, just in terms of the tolerance aspect of it. That, yeah, I mean, like, because he mentioned going into a Muslim restaurant and how, you know, he's half Jew, technically, and
right.
A few of his people were on his crew were Jews, so they were kind of concerned about eating there because they didn't know what was going to go down. But he said, yeah, but, I mean, they loved me. Like, everyone there was great. They were happy to have us, and it was like, but if it wasn't for the fact, and he was talking to the Prime Minister of Israel to America, or ambassador. If it wasn't for religion, we would just be normal guys going to anywhere in the world, and we would all get along.
I mean, you would think so, but then there is, you know, there's, I think, a lot of the ethics I see in people,
mm-hmm.
I feel comes from their religion. Mm-hmm. What was really programmed into them as kids,
yeah,
right and wrong, at least from what I've seen, because I grew up in a very Catholic/Christian, you either were a Catholic or a WASP. But I never knew any of the humanist parents, let's say, that had no religion and simply just taught right from wrong. So I've never seen that. I have seen the other thing, which is the religion thing. And I think that's where, I don't know, it seems like it set a barometer in people,
mm-hmm.
to say, you know, you're being watched. you know, someone's watching you, you know, when you're doing right and wrong. And
yeah.
I know a lot of good's come out of it, but man, you know, we've had our share of bad. And I think the last thing we need to be doing is judging other people and their beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
Really, as long as they're not trying to hurt anybody or kill anyone else, we really shouldn't be judging them. So, I think this show really helped me to open my mind and my heart, you know, and I think, and again, if you're a filmmaker, I think, you know, or a writer, writes to, I think this show just enhances so much for you.
Mm-hmm.
I think. I mean, haven't you been enriched?
Yeah, I was thinking about it last night. Like, I started watching the show when I was still at Emerson, like, just coming in. Like, I just found out about this show. But at the time, you know, I was just looking at it, I was like, oh, this is, like, quality. I didn't really know a lot about filmmaking as much as I do now. And then I feel like, but once I got here on the show with you, where you've like, you know, you're a seasoned writer and you're in the business, and just like watching it from your perspective and like really, like, I don't know, I just grew a whole new appreciation for the show. And I finally got the messages they were trying to tell me or trying to send to the audience. And overall, I think they did an amazing job just looking over the past five seasons, and every season had its own theme, all or the lessons. And in the end, it all came
full circle. And they found the way to do it in a season. You know, as we talked about, I don't know if this season, I feel like it was thrust upon them.
Yeah.
I think they probably would have liked to have done two or three,
mm-hmm.
but you know, that's how well they did it, where they was like, okay, you guys have 10 episodes, do it.
And
by episode three or four, you know, they got it.
Yeah, because it was real evident in those first two episodes. You're like, boy, this is coming off the tracks. And
you know, and who knows if they were just going to be able to kind of have fun for another three seasons, and by episode two they found out. Who knows?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm grateful for the show and, you know, grateful to HBO, and hopefully it just continues to set that bar high. I know the next new series I'm excited about is The Borgias over on Showtime. So I'm sure we'll be, I know Paul Ashton and the higher brow of AfterBuzz is going to be doing it, but I'm going to try to poke my nose in there.
Okay.
But Stu, you and I, we've got Californication, and we have many more adventures ahead.
One more of Californication, too.
Yeah, one more of Californication. And anyway, but thank you very much, all Big Love fans, and hopefully we've helped you through the process. And if you're an aspiring screenwriter or filmmaker or just a fan, this was a great show for you to learn, to you know, to really use every bit of dialogue, every bit of production design, every bit of music, and every element at your disposal to help you tell your story in a very poignant way.
Yeah, I'm definitely going back to season one. I feel like I have to start over and really get a whole
start over.
Understanding.
All right. Anyway, thanks everybody.
For producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions, comments, or would like to host an AfterBuzz show of your own, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.